We'll start with the prayers. Vasudevasutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagatgurum. We are studying Shankaracharya's Bhashyam on the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we are doing the 12th verse today. We started with the 12th verse last week, but today I will finish the 12th verse and then go on to the 13th verse. Bhagavad Gita is a study of Jivatma and Paramatma. I am the Jivatma, and then there is a creator of the Jagat, of the world, which is called as Paramatma. The Jiva has got inferior attributes compared to the Paramatma. Paramatma means he is the Srishti Karanam. He is the cause of the entire world. He is the Sthiti Karanam. He is the one who is maintaining this world for us. And then he is the Laya Karanam also. Laya Karanam means he dissolves the world also for us. All of us, we experience three states of consciousness: waking, dream, sleep. In these three states, we experience the world. Who is the cause of this waking, dream, and sleep? It is Bhagavan or Paramatma. He has got a Shakti called as Maya Shakti, which is very powerful. He can create, he can project, he can maintain, he can resolve. That is the power of the Lord. My power is very limited. Maya's power, Lord's power is Maya Shakti. My power is Nidra Shakti. I can go to sleep. I have got a little bit of Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti means a power to desire. Kriya Shakti, power to do things. And Jnana Shakti. Three Shaktis we have. But our powers are very limited compared to the powers of the Lord. So, Jiva Atma, Parama Atma. The attributes of the Jivatma and Paramatma are different. But the Atma portion is common. What is the Atma portion called? It is called as Satyam. Eternally it exists. Chaitanyam. It is of the nature of consciousness, awareness, and the third aspect is Anantam. Anantam means infinite. There is no death for Bhagavan. There is no death for Atma. There is no birth for Atma. So there is one common denominator between Jivatma and Paramatma, which is Atma. So when you look at Paramatma, he is deathless, birthless as Atma. That Paramatma is teaching Lord, he is teaching Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita and say, Arjuna, you are also Atma. Bhishma, Drona, everybody is Atma only. The bodies are different, the minds are different, but the essence behind the body is Atma. Therefore, you can have three types of vision. You can look at yourself as this body, gross body. This is what we discussed last week. I'm just trying to summarize it so that you remember. You can look at yourself as the body, which is the gross body. You can look at yourself as the mind with consciousness. You can look at yourself in a third way, which is consciousness alone. If you look at with yourself as a body which is born and then it'll be gone, then you are in the Vyavaharika level, transactional level. This body's birth and death you cannot stop. It is an inevitable fact, and every body which is born will die, and every body which dies will be born again. So the gross body will be born again. So, there is no need to grieve over death of a person. The lessons in these verses from 12 to 25 are extremely important for those people who have got anxiety for death. Oh, what will happen to me? What will happen to the children? The Bhagavad Gita is a very good knowledge base for those people who are afraid of death, who are afraid of degeneration, disease, and death. Three Ds. It is inevitable. But you don't have to be grieving over that, worried about that, because that is not your real nature. The second aspect of this, of our attention is, I am the mind, and the mind is changing. And the mind, along with the reflected consciousness, constitutes the soul which departs this body during death. And then there is an intermediary stage between the time the soul leaves this body and takes up another body. Lord Krishna says that also you don't have to worry because anyway the soul will take another birth. All the shraddham and the rituals which we do after death are meant for this soul which departs. Again, there you don't have to grieve because there is no sorrow which we cannot avoid it because it is inevitable. So this is the knowledge we get from Bhagavad Gita. Through knowledge, I get rid of sorrow in life. So what happens then when I don't get sorrow, when I'm not worried about any of this, neither the body or neither the Chidabhasa, neither that soul which leaves the body, then my mind becomes free. And to that free mind, the knowledge of Atma is given. The knowledge of Atma is you are Chit Swarupa, Chaitanya Swarupa. Pure consciousness, which is birthless, which is deathless, which is Nityaha. That is what we are seeing in the verse. Number 12. In verse number 12, what Lord teaches Arjuna is we will always exist as Atma. So let's go to the portion where we stopped last week. Atma Swarupena Nityaha. Bhishma, Drona, all others, they have a body. Body may be killed in the battlefield, but body will be born again because they are not the body. They are the Atma. They are the Jivatma. Jivatma has got three factors. One is the gross body. The second is the soul, which we call it as mind plus Chit Abhasa. Chit Abhasa means it is a reflection of that consciousness, which is consciousness is called as Atma. A reflection of that consciousness is makes up the Jivatma. This reflection comes during Srishti, when the creation takes place. Not during every birth and death, no. During the birth, it is only the external dress which is changing. But I, this soul, that is the second level. So the entire teaching is for that soul which is linked to the mind. And it says that mind is me and body is me. Then the question might arise, are there many, many eternal Atmas? That means you are saying Nitya Atma. You are telling me that there is consciousness which is Nityaha. Nityaha means eternal, permanently there. Here Lord Krishna says, in Advaita philosophy, there is only one Atma, which appears as reflections in many, many bodies. So your body has got a reflection of that consciousness. My body has got a reflection of consciousness and also all the living beings. Visishta Advaitam says Paramatma is one, but Jivatmas are many. That is Visishta Advaitam, another school of philosophy. Jivatmas are shariams of Paramatma. We are part of Paramatma, but we are not equal to Paramatma. We say we are equal to Paramatma only from the Chaitanyam angle. Aikyam means oneness. Sharira Shariri Sambandha. Shariri means the indweller Atma. There are two indwellers. One is Atma, which is Chit, and there is Chit Abhasa. The Chit Abhasa is called as Ahamkara. Try to get this point very clearly because these are all fundamentals of Vedanta. If I look at myself as the mind, then it is called as the Chidabhasa. Suppose I look at myself as the Atma content in the mind, then it is called as Chit. There are three major divisions in Vedanta or in the Indian schools. One is by Ramanujacharya, who is a Visishta Advaitin philosopher. Madhavacharya, who is a Dvaitin. Dvaitin means Lord also exists, I also exist. Both are equally real. Ramanujacharya says, I am a part of Paramatma. Advaitin says, I am Atma and Paramatma is also Atma. We both have some common element which is called as Atma. When you look at it from the Atma level, there is no plurality at all. There is only one Nirguna. That means there is one without attributes, Atma. So looking at myself as that Atma is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Slowly as you learn all the chapters, especially the second chapter, you will start, if you are a newcomer to Bhagavad Gita, you will start slowly absorbing the knowledge that there is something called as Atma. And then as you study further and further Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, the mind becomes more purer, and then the knowledge of Eka Atma blossoms in your mind. There is only one Atma, and that is the real nature of the Jiva. I, the Jiva who thinks that I am the body today, change my vision about myself. This change in vision is brought about purely by the knowledge of Atma. So there is no plurality of Atma. There is plurality of Sharira, the body. Now we go to the next verse. So the 12th verse said that Atma, there was no time in which you were not there, I was not there. We are always there, was said in the 12th verse. We are all Nitya Atma. Now in what manner do we exist as Nitya Atma? A little bit more, another feature of Nitya Atma is given in the 13th verse. This is an introduction for the 13th verse. So here Shankaracharya writes a commentary. He says, in what manner is the Atma eternal? In verse number 22 of the second chapter, the Lord says that the body is like a dress. I wear on the body during the waking state. I remove the body and then take another body, which is the mind alone in the dream state. Then I drop the physical body, gross body and the subtle body, and then I sleep. In the sleep state, I am pure Atma. The bodies are left. How bodies are left, in what condition they are left, it's explained in the Chandogya Upanishad very beautifully in the 6th chapter, 8th section. Now here, a question will arise. How do I know that Atma continues after the death of the body? How do I know this? Is there any way? Can you give me an example? That is what Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna thinks that Arjuna will have this question in his mind, and then he teaches how Atma is Nitya Swarupaha. Now here in this 13th verse, six modifications which we learned in Tattva Bodha class are being discussed. What are the six modifications which the body undergoes? If you study, if you remember the Tattva Bodha, body undergoes asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. The C portion, 5C, gives the six description of the changes which happen to the body. Asti means I enter the body. Reflected consciousness, mind enters the body in the womb of the mother. Then jayate, then the body, physical body gets born. Vardate. Vardate means it is the growth phase of the body. From childhood to youth. Viparinamate. After the growth, there is a period in which the body does not grow, it remains stable. That stable condition of the body is called as viparinamate. And then the last two conditions are apakshyate, declension, and vinashyati. Vinashyati means death. So, there is existence in the womb, there is birth, there is growth, there is a stable condition, mature condition of adulthood. Then there is a degeneration, apakshiyate, and then death. These are the six conditions of the body. In the 13th verse, the three middle conditions are being discussed by Lord Krishna. See, when we study the Bhashyam, Shankaracharya teaches us all this. Vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate. These three stages are being discussed in this 13th verse. What are the words which are used? Kaumaram, Yauvanam, and Jara. These are the three vikaras, modifications in the body. Kaumaram means boyhood, childhood. Yauvanam means youth. Jara means old age. So throughout these conditions of the body, there is something which does not change. Every day I feel that I am changeless, nirvikara, swarupa, atma. I have never looked at myself like this. Only when you come to study the Bhagavad Gita, you will start understanding, oh, there is something which is not changing in me, the body. Body is changing, yes. But Atma is not changing. That is why everybody feels all the time I am fresh. I am changeless. I was Atma in the childhood, in the youthhood, in the middle age, in the old age. I was Atma in the waking state. I am Atma in the dream state. I will be Atma in the sleep state. The states belong to the mind. The states of youthhood, childhood, old age belongs to the body. Between the body and mind and the world, they are all three made up of panchabhutas. In short, they are called as prakriti, nature. Prakriti changes in the world. Atma is changeless. A common thread during our life. Very important point, very important verse. That is why these verses from 12 to 25, you must by heart it and just let it sink into your mind. So what do? We extrapolate that, okay, I am in the three stages of Vardhate, Viparinamate, Vipakshyate, in these conditions of the body, conditions of the mind, I am changeless. Therefore, what? Even after the death of the body, I draw an inference, I continue. Even before the birth of the body, I was there. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, you are Nityaha. Look at yourself. You tell me from your own experiences, do you feel that there is something changeless in your body? All of us should do this exercise in our own way. Ask yourself a question, close your eyes and ask a question. Is there anything in this body which is not changing? I am aware all the time. That awareness is called as Atma. That awareness is Nirvikaraha. It's a Sanskrit technical term used in this verse. Nirvikara Swarupa Atma. Now we will chant the 13th verse.
Dehi nosmin yatha dehe. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe. Kaumaram yavanam jara. Kaumaram yavanam jara. Tatha dehantara prap. तथा देहांतर प्राप्ति धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति.
What is the practical significance of this verse? The verse says during all the time I am not changing, I am the Atma. Therefore, as body, you don't have to grieve. As Atma, you don't have to grieve. So the wise man and jnani should not grieve. Here we are talking of the death as the topic in the battlefield. At the practical level, for you and me, what we should learn from this, we should learn that anytime there is some sorrow, check whether that sorrow is coming from the body or from the mind, or is it come from the external world. All these verses from 12 to 25 will be analyzing sorrow. So at any time, don't worry over the conditions of the external circumstances you are facing. Face the circumstances in the best way possible. Do your duty, do whatever has to be done, but don't worry about them. That worrying element is what we should slowly start reducing it and say, I'm not worried because it is not going to affect me, the Atma. Atma is Asangaha. In all the three states of the consciousness, waking, dream, sleep, all the conditions of the body, I alone am there. I am never affected by the conditions outside. In the 10th chapter, the Lord gives a very, very important teaching, which is very useful for us in this second chapter, 13th verse. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhuta Shayastitaha Aham Adishcha Madhyamcha Bhutanamanta Evacha. What is the meaning of this? That Lord, which is called as Atma, is present in all the bodies, in the heart of all the beings. That is why if you want to know, if you want to pray to that Lord, you don't have to go to the temples. You can pray, close your eyes, and then pray to the Lord inside your body. Inside all our bodies, there is a presence of Atma, and that is Paramatma. In the beginning, at the beginning itself of the birth, Atma is there as reflected consciousness. In the while we are going through the life, Atma is there. At the end of the life, Atma continues. In what way does the Atma express in this body? In the 20th verse of the 10th chapter, it is one of the vibhutis, glories of Paramatma. He says that I am in the body as aham. In Sanskrit, aham means I. I am Atma. I am Atma. But what do we say now? I am the body. I am the mind. If you are body and mind, you are born and God. If you are the Atma in the body, you identify yourself with the Paramatma in the body, you are eternal. We are all eternal jivas. We don't have any birth, we don't have any death. The whole purpose of Lord Krishna's teaching in these verses is discover your Atma. Close your eyes and ask yourself, am I the awareness consciousness in this body? Everyone will say yes. There is something called as awareness, which is different than the body, which never has any change. Always the same. And that is called as Sakshi. Whenever that Atma is inside the body, it is called as Sakshi. It is Sakshi means witness. Sakshi is witness of what in the body? It is witness of your body's condition, and it is also the witness of all your thoughts. The body's conditions are this Yovanam, Jara, and childhood, Kaumaram, and all that. What continues continuously in this childhood, youth, old age is this Atma principle, which is Nirvikara Swarupa. Remember this word Nirvikara. Vikara means change. Nirvikara means changeless. Because it Atma is Nirvikara, without modifications, it is Nityaha. It is eternal. In 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is another beautiful verse, the 7th verse. Madhya parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is nothing higher, or there is nothing apart from this Atma. Very important verse. It tells that Atma can exist itself, and everything which is in the world, the whole universe exists in this Atma. Mayi sarvavidam proktam sutre manigana iva. Like you have a thread which is for a garland. In a thread we string flowers and then we put it in our hair. When you see a garland, you don't see the thread. You see the flowers. The flowers represent our body. The thread represents the Atma. By the study of Bhagavad Gita, you come to realize the thread in the garland. Lord Krishna opens up and shows all of us, look, 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 look inside you. There is only Atma. So therefore, from the standpoint of Atma, which is Nirvikaraha, changeless, there is no death at all. We are all immortal. Atma, free from birth and death. Body is not free from birth and death. Body has got Kaumaram, Yauvanam, Jara. Kaumaram represents Vardate. Yauvanam represents Viparinamate. Vardate means growth. Viparinamate means stability. Apakshyate, Jara represents Apakshyate. Apakshyate is the declension. Then Shankaracharya writes a big commentary about these three conditions of the body. When the youth comes, the childhood is gone. When the childhood is gone, youth is gone, adulthood comes. So when the conditions of the body change, the self is not born, it is changeless. That is the most important fundamental point we should remember. So Madhyama Vikara, the three middle stages of the Vikaras, out of the six, Shankaracharya says in this particular verse, three of the middle stages are taken up to show that Atma is Nirvikara Swarupaha and Shariram is Vikara Swarupa. So in meditation, what we have to do? Remove that Sthula Shariram and tell yourself, I don't have any of these stages which are going along with the three Shariram's, but I am pure Atma. That pure Atma has got no connection with the body. In the presence of Atma, the bodies are coming and going. In the presence of the sun, the transactions take place on the earth. Sun is always there. Sun represents Atma. The transactions happening in the earth represents the waking state, dream state, and the sleep state. So we have to analyze our experiences in life with the conditions of the body and the conditions of the mind, and then arrive at the Nirvikara soul. This verse, if you understand in this fashion, it becomes very easy. In Kaumaram and Yauvanam, Jara is absent. In Jara and Kaumaram, Yauvanam is absent. I'm using Sanskrit terms. In English, in the childhood and the adulthood, the old age is missing. In the old age, the childhood and the adulthood is missing. So each one is subject to arrival. Each of these conditions of the body is subject to arrival and departure. But I, the consciousness, indweller in this body, does not change. It never arrives, it never departs. Consciousness is like the space in the pot. In the pot, there is space. We call it pot space. Outside the pot, there is space. We call it total space. Inside the body, there is consciousness. It is called as Jiva's consciousness. Outside, there is Paramatma's consciousness. We call it the total consciousness. When the body is gone, when the pot is broken, the space in the body, in the pot, merges with the space outside. We thought that there is a separate space in the pot, but all the time there was only one space. Similarly, when the body is born, it is born in consciousness. When the body goes away, consciousness alone remains. The totality, one space alone remains, one consciousness alone remains. Therefore, you don't identify yourself with the body, identify yourself with the Sakshi, which is always stationary. It never changes. So this diagram, it says Jivatma has boyhood, youth and old age. Jiva has three seeming avasthas like waking, dream, sleep. The avasthas belong to the body and mind. They are falsely transferred to the Atma. Very important point. This transference of the body's conditions to the Atma consciousness is called as adhyasa, superimposition. In Advaita philosophy, in the entire study of Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, and also Brahma Sutra, this word adhyasa, which I have just now introduced in this page, is extremely important. Because we are going to use this continuously in our learning. Whether you are studying the second chapter, the 13th chapter, 14th chapter, 15th chapter, you must remember the technical term adhyasa means superimposition. For adhyasa, Shankaracharya bases the entire teaching of all the Gita, Upanishads and Brahma Sutra on this one word adhyasa. You can understand this adhyasa with a simple example of a crystal. A pure transparent crystal, when it comes in contact with the flowers, suppose you put a red flower or a yellow flower or a green flower, the crystal appears red or green or red. But all, whenever it is appearing as crystal, as a red crystal, in your own mind, what do you know? Crystal is only transparent. It is aupadika avastha bheda. Avastha bheda means in this condition of this red flower, the crystal is looking red. Natu vastavika avastha bheda. It is not an intrinsic nature of the crystal to look red. So similarly, in all the conditions of waking, dream, sleep, I am the pure crystal-like Atma, pure awareness, consciousness. In all the conditions of the body, Kaumaram, Yauvanam, Jara, childhood, adulthood, old age. You see, in old age, many people are worried about diseases, degeneration of the body. But if you remember the 13th verse, which we are doing now, if you remember this verse, you will not worry. But this verse should go deep into your subconscious mind, not listening once. You must repeatedly go through these verses from 12 to 25, 10 times. After we finish this 25 verses, you should go through it again and again. Make your own notes. 13th verse, Nirvikara. 12th verse and 13th verse, Nitya Sarupa. So, Nirvikara Sarupa is explaining to us the Adhyasa which we are falsely doing. We are actually transferring the condition of the mind which is awake and say, I am the waker. In this dream state, you falsely transfer your Atma's pure awareness and attach yourself as the mind and say, I was the dreamer. Similarly, in the sleep state, the causal body, physical, gross body, subtle body, causal body. I, the consciousness, identifying with the gross body, I say I am a waker. Identified with the dream body, with the dream mind, I say I am a dreamer. With the causal body, which is the potential condition of the gross body and the subtle body, which is called as causal body, I say, identifying with that body, I say I am a sleeper. So similarly, according to the, I was a child, I was a youth, I was an adult, and then I am in old age. So I is being transferred, the property of the body is being transferred, that is called as adhyasa. So anytime you want to be free from yourself, what should you do? Just remove that superimposition. In meditation, that's what we do. I drop the conditions of the three bodies, the five koshas, the three avasthas, and then what do I say? I am the pure Atma. That pure Atma is Nityaha. That pure Atma is Nirvikaraha. It is changeless. In Chandogya Upanishad, the Lord says that Atma is always without the body. Ashariram. At a higher level in Upanishads, the teaching is, I am Atma all the time. The Shariram is come and gone, but I remain pure Atma all the time. Matha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dharanjaya mai sarvamidam proktam sutre manigana iva. Remember this verse of the 7th chapter, 7th verse. I am the thread which is strung, in which the waking state, dream state, sleep state are strung. My identification is with that Atma. Then I am never sorrowful. There is no vikara. There is no change for Atma. But by mistake of a change and start looking at the body, everything will start. Body's conditions is not under my control. Pancha Bhutas are under the control of Ishvara. So, by studying Bhagavad Gita, we are able to understand how to get rid of sorrow. By claiming Atma as my Swarupa. So, with the physical body, I become waker. With the subtle body, I become dreamer. Become means what? Seemingly Atma becomes. It is not a real transformation. It is a seemingly transformation because of superimposition, because of adhyasa. Try to get this adhyasa word understood correctly, because this one word can lead you to moksha. All the studies we do, all the classes which we attend, all the reading, all the listening which we do. If I understand adhyasa, Shankaracharya writes a detailed adhyasa bhashyam at the beginning of Brahma Sutra. The notes of that are available in my website. For those sincere students who want to realize the Atma, you must study that Bhashyam and you will understand the depth of your nature. Causal body. See, this is why the study of Tathobodha is important. Physical body, Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, I become the sleeper. When the son or daughter is in front of me, I, the Atma, play the role of father or mother. When I am in front of my mother and father, I play the role of son or daughter. All these are conditions which change. In the office, I am a employee or I am a boss. I am the owner of the company. At home, I am not the owner of the company. At home, I am either a husband or a wife. So similarly, youthful body, when I am associated with, I am called a youth. If the body becomes old, if I have gray hair, if my heart condition is not good, if my stomach is got some problems, okay, fine. These are all old age. So you live with the problems of the body and mind, and even mind's qualities. The mind becomes angry, not me. Mind was angry, that's all. That is the nature of the mind. I will try to improve the condition of the mind, but that is not my nature. My nature is Atma. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha. There are six deficiencies in the mind of every person, not only you, everyone. It is nature, it is belongs to the Panchabhutas. In chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita 34, verses 34, 35, 36, extremely important verses for those who are suffering from extreme desire. That Lord Krishna says, anger is nothing but it is another desire only. When desire gets obstructed, it leads to anger. So he gives a solution for anger by saying, reduce your desires, automatically you will get your anger sorted out. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, 34, 35, 36, three verses, beautiful verses, practical verses. Very useful verses. This is how why we say Bhagavad Gita is a study which helps me in my life, in my day-to-day life. Are you worried about your body or your conditions in the mind in the everyday? Yes, then this Gita study is very useful because you will know how to discriminate the body and Atma. So, six modifications belong to the body or mind. They do not belong to me, the Atma, is the central teaching in this 13th verse. Death belongs to the seemingly dying Atma. Atma, when it is identified with the body, you see, if suppose I don't identify, other people, they identify me with the body. That is another problem. They will keep on saying, you are sick. But in your mind, I am not sick, I am Atma. So in the Vyavahara, you should say, yes, I am sick, I will take care of the body. But in your own mind, you should say, I am Atma. Atma can never be sick. Atma is Nirvikaraha, it is Nitya Surupaha. Therefore, I have no worry, no sorrow, no grief. Atma never dies. Body dies. Relationships, other people will miss the body. They don't miss the Atma because they themselves are Atma. There is no relationship between Atma and Atma. It is between Atma and Anatma. Anatma and Anatma. So wise person is a courageous person. He is not somebody who will lament over the conditions of the body. Again and again, it is the same central teaching. See how beautiful Shankaracharya's Bhashyam is. When you go into the depth of these verses in this fashion through the study of Bhashyam, you will never forget these verses in your life. Kathopanishad says in the second chapter, this is a very important verse for those who are beginning their study of the spiritual science. You have no idea about Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads or the scriptures. For them, this is the first verse they should learn. Paranchikani vivritranat swayambhu. A person will study his life. And what will he discover? He will discover that my sense organs are always turned outside. That is how they have been designed. My mind is always engaged the whole day in analyzing so many conditions in the external world, either with the office, either with the house, either with the property, either with my possessions, or with my body or mind, all external to Atma. But who is a wise man? A wise man, Kathopanishad says, a person who has changed his mind from extrovertedness to introvertedness. Introvertedness doesn't mean that you stop all your activities. Only you try to understand and discover this Atma which is there within you. Then you act. Then you go back in the world and act. So Kathopanishad, this verse, very important for beginners who are entering the spiritual study to start understanding that there is something which I can do. Every one of us can do it. Go with the courage. Yes, I will discover this Atma by the end of the study of Bhagavad Gita. I will discover. I will never have sorrow in my life. That is a promise given by Shankaracharya while you study this verse. When Arjuna said this, the solution to Karpanya Dosha Pahata Swabhava, my heart is filled with sorrow. Lord Krishna teaches him Atma Swarupam. You do your duty, do your Swadharma. At the same time, understand your nature as Atma. I am a Grihastha, householder. I have so many duties. Lord Krishna says, be a Grihastha. Do all your duties for the family, for the society. At the same time, understand, come to Bhagavad Gita, understand your real nature as Atma. So this is the sara of this shloka. The next shloka, the 14th shloka, is a slight diversion. A puro pakshi means a person who has understood the 12th verse, 13th verse, or even Arjuna might have this question, a possible question either from Arjuna or from a person who is studying the Bhagavad Gita. The Puro Pakshi means a person who is using his mind to understand the Nitya Swarupam of Atma. Now, what Shankaracharya says is, in the 12th and 13th verse, yes, you're talking about Atma. Atma is Nitya Swarupa. Okay, we are not worried about Atma. Problem. Because Atma is immortal. But then Arjuna's problem is not Atma. Arjuna is worried about the Anatma problems. By Lord Krishna saying, don't cry about death of Atma, so far, how my problem of sorrow about Anatma world will get solved? We are all constantly interacting in the Anatma world only. Atma, we don't interact. Whether it is remaining or not remaining, it is no problem for me. Earlier, before coming to Bhagavad Gita, I never knew about Atma. So what worries me is my interactions with the world. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukhadakkada. That is the verse which we are going to learn now. In my interactions with the world, I have got opposite experiences. Hot and cold, honor and dishonor, joy and sorrow, they are all in the Anatma world. I am not worried about the Atma, but tell me, oh Lord Krishna, how do I handle my Anatma body and mind, which is forced to interact with the world? Teach me that. To answer that question, Lord Krishna teaches Anatma, how to face Anatma in day-to-day life. For a jnani, Atma is incapable of causing sorrow because Atma is asangaha. It is paramarthika sarupa. It means it is of a higher order of reality. For an ajnani, ajnani means an ignorant person, Atma doesn't exist. For him only Anatma is existing. For a jnani, he wants to know, how do I face the world with opposite experiences which causes conflicts in life, delusion in life? Sometimes I have some people honor me, you're a great person. And then after 1 week, they say, no, he is a foolish person. How do I handle honor and dishonor? How do I handle sukham and dukkha? So Lord Krishna imagines this question and then he gives out this verse.
Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkhada. Shitoshna sukha dukkhada. Agama pahino nitya. Agama pahino nitya. Tam stitikshasva bharata. Tam stitikshasva bharata.
This is one of a very important verses of Bhagavad Gita. Very important. $1 million verse. It teaches me that neither joy is continuously there, neither sorrow is continuously there. They all have a beginning and end. Any sorrow has a beginning, it has an end. Any joy has a beginning and end. Why? Because joy and sorrow, opposite experiences, are born when the indriyam contacts with the sense objects. All of us have a body. In the body, there are 5 sense organs. When the 5 sense organs, they contact the sense object outside, either you will have joy or sorrow. Suppose you are listening to music. If you love South Indian Carnatic music, if they play Carnatic music, you'll be very happy. If you're a 15-year-old boy, if there is a Taylor Swift song going outside, you will be happy. So you will be either happy or sad depending on the conditions of the sense organs' interaction with the sense objects. Whenever they are interacting, you develop titiksha. Titiksha means a condition of the mind, it's a mental condition of forbearance. It's one of the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, one of the in samadha shatka sampatti, you have titiksha in tathobodha. That is what here Shankaracharya and Lord Krishna is highlighting. So every interaction has got two things involved. Number one is your own mind and sense organs. Number two is the conditions outside, that is the setup. Now, interactions are based on prarabdha, the law of prarabdha karma. Whatever your sense organs are supposed to meet tomorrow outside, they will have that experience as per the law of karma. So, what should you take care of? What is under your control? Is it the setup under your control or is your mind under your control? Lord Krishna says, you have no control over the setup. You can only control how you react to the experiences which come to you. Start working on your mind, stop working on the setup. See another practical example, how Bhagavad Gita is useful. Adjust the mind with titiksha, with forbearance. Forbearance means what? Understanding the law that every sense organ interaction with the sense object has a beginning, it has an end. I should not be overjoyed when joy comes in. I should not be overwhelmed by sorrow when it attacks me. Joy and sorrow coming to my body-mind complex is law of karma. Other people's sorrows, I will just say, oh, I'll be very objective for it. But when it comes to Ahamkara and Mamakara, my sorrow, my family's sorrow, then I'm not able to face it. Here, Lord Krishna understands the problem of Anatma. He says, Anatma has got varieties of problems. Anatma has got changes. Anatma is born, body is born, body is gone, but and it is subject to union and separation. It is subject to six vikaras, and it is a fact. Law of karma is a fact. So you can't control. There are so many uncontrollable factors in the Anatma world. But I can change the attitude by which I experience those conditions of the anatma. Changing the attitude towards the experiences is called as titiksha. Healthy acceptance of the six vikaras of the anatma world. Titiksha is to allow anatma to operate without disturbing the mind or murmuring in the mind. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? I'm such a good person. I attend Gita classes, but why should this happen to me? No. It is a law of nature. Accept it. Don't allow world people to cause bitterness, frustrations in your mind. That is called as healthy titiksha. Matra Sparsha is a compound word. Matra means sense organs. Sparsha means sense objects. Shabda Rupa Rasa, Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha is the sense object which is Sparsha. Matra is five sense organs. The eyes, the ears, the tongue, the skin, the nose. So instruments to experience the fivefold sense objects is called as matra. Sparsha is the contact, matra naam sparshaha, the contact of sense organ with the sense object is a sensory interaction. And whenever the interaction takes place, there is the end result is either joy or sorrow, sukham or dukkha. It could be a taste, good taste, bad taste in the mouth. It could be a good, bad smell. It could be a good, bad sight. It could be a good, bad sound. So they can generate heat or cold, comfort and discomfort. So, with reference to these conditions of the sense organs and the sense objects, I have only the possibility to control my mind. Sense organs, sense objects, and sambandha. So the entire life, if you want to describe your life, it is nothing but it is a contact of Indriya Vishaya Sambandha. Sheetam and Ushnam belong to the body level. Sukham and Dukham belongs to the mind. So the sense organs directly do not give Sukham and Dukham. Sense organs will directly give heat or cold. But sukham and dukham is experienced in the mind. Indirectly, the sense organs are the cause of comfort and discomfort. So, whenever these opposite conditions come, you have a samatva buddhi. What Lord Krishna is teaching us here as Titiksha is to have a balanced mind. Niyata Swarupa. Sukham is always welcome. Dukham is always unwelcome. This is the normal, natural acceptance of situations. But my mind, I should try to hold on the effect of the interactions as much as possible. It's not easy. It's not that every day suddenly you will be able to do this. But then this is a practice. If you keep on practicing, you will be in a position to understand agamaha apayaha. Agama means arrival. Apaya means departure of the conditions. Changing the setup and adjusting the whole life to improving the infrastructure is a foolish way of life. To some extent, you can control the infrastructure. But Lord Krishna says, focus more on how your mind should get the samatva buddhi. Comfort and discomfort is also anityaha. Anityaha means it is impermanent. Understand that impermanent nature, then you will be able to control your mind. Good news is also impermanent. Bad news is also impermanent. The impact of that, if you have forbearance, you can endure any condition in life. So don't be overexcited or overwhelmed by sorrow, which is what we see seen in the chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita. The one who is able to keep samatva buddhi, he gets didiksha. That is the meaning, that is the essence of this 14th verse. So in the 12th and 13th verse, we studied Nitya Atma. In the 14th verse, we studied Anitya Anatma. Titiksha is a very important value, but very difficult to cultivate. It, by practice, it can be cultivated. Generally, we lose temper and become angry because of lack of titiksha. Next week, we are going to study the 15th verse. There, Shankaracharya says, suppose you can control your titiksha. You have titiksha. What happens to the person? That we will see next week. So, 15th verse, we will start next week. And now we will stop with this Bhagavad Gita study. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.